540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Israel is increasing its air attacks on Gaza, says CBS's Charlie Daggett in Tel Aviv.
The full force of Israeli airstrikes and artillery resumed overnight and this morning. And a rare airstrike in the West Bank on a suspected Hamas terror cell in Jenin. 2 weeks of heavy bombardment has left Gaza in ruins with a death toll that surpassed 4,300 people, another 13,000 injured.
Israel may be attacking Gaza to soften it up for a ground invasion. Here's IDF spokesman, Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Kornikas.
In the south, our aerial campaign continues. We are preparing for the next stage of operations. We are targeting Hamas leaders, their infrastructure, the logistic infrastructure, and everything related to Hamas combat capabilities.
The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees says it will run out of fuel in Gaza in 3 days. The head of the agency, Philippe Lazzarini.
What we need is a significant scaling up of a supply line into Gaza, and it needs to be sustained and it needs to be uninterrupted.
Egypt says 17 trucks crossed into Gaza today. America's military is on the move in the Middle East, guarding against any group or nation that might be considering an attack on American interests in the region. Secretary of State Antony Blinken on CBS's Face the Nation.
A very clear message from the president, backed up by the deployment of two of our largest aircraft carrier battle groups, to make sure that it's clear no one should take advantage of this moment to escalate to further attacks on Israel or, for that matter, attacks on us, on our personnel.
South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham is in Tel Aviv today with a warning for one of that country's neighbors.
We're here today to tell Iran we're watching you. If this war grows, it's coming to your backyard.
Republican Congressman Michael McCaul tells ABC his colleagues have to get it together and elect a speaker.
It's my 10th term in Congress.
Yeah.
This is probably one of the most embarrassing things I've seen, because if we don't have a Speaker of the House, we can't govern.
They'll try again this week, although it's not clear if any Republican can get the 217 votes needed to be elected to the job that is second in line to the presidency. Police at this hour are searching for the estranged son of the Nashville police chief. John Drake Jr. is suspected of shooting two police officers outside a Dollar General store in the city of Laverne yesterday. In a statement, Nashville Chief John Drake said his son is a felon who has, quote, resorted to years of criminal activity. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal government just announced plans to build so-called hydrogen hubs, and Wisconsin is part of two of them. But environmentalists are concerned developers might increase carbon emissions. Suzanne Potter explains.
The feds just announced $7 billion in funding to produce hydrogen, which is used in hard-to-decarbonize sectors like aviation fuel, steel and glass production, power generation, refining, and heavy-duty transportation. However, as Patrick Drupp with the Sierra Club warns, the devil is in the details.
And if it's done correctly, maybe we can create some truly clean hydrogen to decarbonize. And if it's done wrong, we have a chance to actually further fuel the climate crisis.
Wisconsin will be involved with the Heartland Hydrogen Hub and the Midwestern Hydrogen Hub. Conservation groups are pressing for so-called green hydrogen, meaning hydrogen produced by electrolysis of water molecules, using renewable power built especially for the hub. They don't want plants to rely on existing renewable power, because once it is used, utilities could turn to other sources, such as coal and natural gas, to backfill demand. Some groups say so-called blue hydrogen is more acceptable because, although it uses methane, a potent greenhouse gas, it captures any carbon emissions and sequesters them. Drupp says the Sierra Club opposes blue hydrogen.
It still carries all of the same problems of using methane. It carries the same problems of fracking, potential methane leaks as you distribute the gas around the country.
Next, the Treasury Department needs to issue its guidance on the hydrogen tax credit that was created in the Inflation Reduction Act. That guidance will greatly influence how green hydrogen is produced and how the accounting for total emissions from hydrogen production is done. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Suzanne Potter.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Homeownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hi, this is Luann Bird, and you're listening to Bird on a Wire, where we are having conversations about hope, civility, and action. Thank you for listening on the Civic Media Network. Hello, this is Luann Bird, your host for Bird on a Wire, where we have conversations of civility, hope, and action. And I'm very happy to have with me my guest, Alex Lazary, who recently I became friends with through the campaign when you ran in the primary last spring. Was it last spring?
Yeah. No, you ran. 2022. Yeah, it was about, I think we ran for close to 18 months.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
I was very happy to see you get in. I didn't know you, but from looking at your ads and your background at the time, we needed good candidates to run, and I was very happy.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm a big fan of the podcast and really excited to be on.
Thank you. So tell, how did you end up here? Where are you from?
So I was born in New York, went to college in Pennsylvania, went to UPenn. Then went to business school at NYU. And then right after college, I worked at the White House. So I worked for President Obama in the White House for Valerie Jarrett, who was a senior advisor to the president. Mm-hmm. So I worked for her chief of staff as his deputy. Did that for almost 2 years. And then went to business school at NYU. And after that, our family bought the Milwaukee Bucks. That was about 10 years ago.
You're ready?
So 10 years ago, came out to Milwaukee, and it's become home. This is where, me and my wife and my daughter live. We're raising our kids. And this has become, a place that we can't imagine living anywhere else. Milwaukee's really been such an incredible city, with such incredible people who have really taken us in and has made Milwaukee home.
Well, and you've brought a lot to Milwaukee with your family and with that whole Bucks area, the way that's all built up now and the success.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big things when we first bought the team was, making sure that this was more than, just basketball. We wanted to make it, as more than just a sports team. And when we saw the opportunity to build, not just a new arena, but a, kind of help redevelop downtown, we saw it as something unique. You look at a lot of other, a lot of other cities and towns, you don't kind of have that opportunity to be able to redevelop 30 acres of downtown. And so, we were, excited and humbled by that potential. And what we wanted to make sure we did when we set out was make sure that we were building something that was going to be able to not just be a place for basketball games, but kind of the new living room for Milwaukee, a place for people to, live, work, and play, for tourists to come and, kind of be the next destination for, you know, sports, entertainment, and just hanging out. So we made sure we built it, you know, 100% union, paid a living wage, and we're really proud of the work we were able to accomplish. 80% of our materials for Fiserv Forum were sourced right here from Wisconsin. So, you know, we were able to, I think, build a real, not just an arena, but, you know, create kind of the model, I think, for, you know, how these public-private partnerships should go in the future.
When the time came to run for public office, what made you decide to do that?
You know, I had always been interested in public service and serving. You know, I think, you know, something my parents had instilled in, you know, I think all of, you know, me and all my siblings was, you know, this notion and need to make sure that you're giving back. You know, my dad immigrated from Morocco. So he came to America when he was, I think, 7 or 8 years old. And, you know, they, you know, kind of left the, you know, Jewish quarter of Morocco, you know, settled in West Hartford. And my dad always says that this is the, you know, greatest country in the world because his story could have only happened here. You know, someone who came to this country with nothing, didn't even speak the language, and was able to end up becoming an NBA champion. And that's something that can only happen here. And he always said, you know, you owe it to give back. And for me, public service was really that way. So, you know, for me, whether it is working in government or the opportunity to run, I wanted to make sure that I was giving back and always focusing on that. And so I was trying to figure out what is the best way to, you know, to make sure that I'm having an effect and an impact in the community. And what drove me to run for office was I really wanted to see more people in Washington who had a history and record of getting things done. I think a lot of times we elect people who are really good at talking about issues, right? Or, you know, will quote unquote fight. But I wanted more people in Washington who could get results. And, you know, more people like Tammy Baldwin, who are workhorses, who are going to go to DC and work with people to deliver real results for the people of Wisconsin. And I felt like I had a history and a record of having done that. Of creating thousands of good paying union jobs right here in Wisconsin, of being a leader in the community, and thought I could bring those skills and experiences to Washington. I was really proud of the campaign we ran. We fell a little short, but that was really what drove me to run.
What was missing in, you know, running against Johnson? I mean, what did you see wasn't happening that really meant was important to you?
Look, I, you know, Senator Johnson, I just think is someone who was constantly given a disservice to the people of Wisconsin. I don't think he's representing us. He's not representing our interests. You know, the way he's voting, I think, is on the wrong side of where the people of Wisconsin are and what they want. And quite frankly, he hasn't done anything. And I think that was one of the biggest problems. You know, even before he kind of became a Trump apologist and an insurrectionist apologist and, you know, working to overturn the election and all that. He was someone who I thought just didn't do anything. And when you're in Congress, you are one of 100 people, right? When you're in the Senate, you are one of 2 people representing the people of Wisconsin. The problem that I found was we only had 1 U.S. senator, and that was Tammy. And I thought, well, look at all the stuff Tammy's been able to do as one person representing Wisconsin. Imagine what could happen if we had 2 people representing the state of Wisconsin. Imagine how much more money we could bring back. Imagine how many more jobs we could create. Imagine how many more businesses we could have invest. More people would come back to move here. How much more our state could grow. That was, you know, what I've kind of found, you know, Senator Johnson just hasn't done for the people of Wisconsin. And it's why, you know, I felt that, you know, I could be the one to beat him. We fell a little short and, you know, Mandela ran a great campaign. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we just fall a little bit short in these elections.
Well, oftentimes in elections, it gets so ugly and so dirty. And when it got toward the end of the Democratic primary, one of the things I was so proud of is that when it was time to bow out, people bowed out. And if I remember right, you said you either had to go negative or bow out. And
yeah, one of the big things that I made sure that our campaign was we were not going to tell people why not to vote for someone. We wanted to tell people why they should vote for us. And if we couldn't win that way, then we weren't going to win. And that was really the hallmark of our campaign was, hey, and I felt honestly of the entire primary. You know, there were, you know, a few candidates who, you know, were going negative, who were at the bottom, but I thought the people who had a real chance to win, I thought we all ran in kind of a similar thing. You know, me, Sarah Mandela, I thought all ran as, hey, this is why you should vote for us. And I think at the end of the day, our view, and especially mine, was we are trying to beat Ron Johnson. We are not trying to beat each other, right? We are trying to beat Ron Johnson and bring another Democrat to help be a real partner for Tammy. And when I realized we couldn't win the primary, I didn't care if it was a day before the primary, a week before, whenever. When we realized that we couldn't win, I wanted to make sure that we gave who was going to be the nominee the best chance to succeed. And I thought we were able to do that. We got out a week before the primary, endorsed Mandela, made sure the field consolidated around him. And I was really proud of the race we ran. I was really proud of the race Mandela ran. And, you know, unfortunately came up just a tad bit short, but, you know, that's politics.
So you're not one to sit around. So what are you doing now? Did you start a PAC?
Yeah. So right now, I've got a few things going on. I'm the co-treasurer for the Democratic Governors Association. I was just elected as a DNC member from Wisconsin. So I'm one of four DNC members, me, Martha Love, Andrew Werthmann, and Janet Buley. So I was just elected as one of the four members to represent the Democratic Party of Wisconsin to the Democratic National Committee. And I also started a PAC that is working to help get mayors and county executives, Democratic mayors and county executives elected across the state. And our first cycle, we played in three races, Green Bay, Racine, and Stevens Point, three incumbents, and all three were reelected. And so we were really proud of what we were able to help accomplish there and the help that we were able to bring to those very important races who had mayors in Corey Mason, Eric Genrich, and Mike mm-hmm. Wizza, who have all accomplished things and who all have a real record of having gotten things done. And you know, once we were able to, again, you know, our ads that we, you know, that we did, we're telling people why them, right? Why, again, why you should give them a second term, why they deserve to continue to be your mayor. And we saw significant swings once we were able to, once we went online. And so, you know, we'll be doing that again. We're choosing our mayors and county executive races for this coming up cycle. But the whole reason I started the PAC was I wanted to be able to make an impact. And I didn't want to just start a PAC for the sake of starting one. I wanted to do one if we felt that there was a real lane that we could play in. And during the campaign, I noticed that there's not a lot of focus on mayors and county execs races in Wisconsin. But those are the people who are implementing a lot of the policies. Those are the people who are taking the dollars that the state is sending our cities or the federal government is sending our cities and deciding, you know, what to do with it. And if we have good people in those positions, good things are going to happen. Bad people, bad things are going to happen. And for me, I wanted to make sure that we were able to either keep the right people in office or get the right people into office. And I think these mayors and county exec races are some of the most important ones.
I want to hear about the Democratic National Committee work. But before that, I just have to ask a couple questions. Like, the White House, what was that like working at the White House and how did you end up there?
Yeah, the White House was one of the greatest experiences of my life. And, you know, I didn't know if my professional history was just going to be downhill
after
from that because it was so much fun. You know, I was young. I was 22. You know, I You know, I think like a lot of people of my generation fell in love with politics from the West Wing and, you know, thought, oh, this is going to be great. We're going to be, you know, talking in halls and, you know, I was going to be, you know, Josh Lyman. It was going to be and Sam Seaborn. It was going to be awesome. And there were some similarities to the West Wing, which, you know, I found to be, it's a lot of people who are really committed and care. And I think that's one thing the show gets right, which is it's a lot of people working in government who really care about helping serve the American people and helping making sure that, you know, government is working properly and is working on behalf of the people. Not everything gets solved in 40 minutes, which, you know, is not, you know, which the show ends up solving. Not everything ends up going the way you want it to, but the White House was one of the greatest experiences I had. I got to learn from Valerie Jarrett, you know.
She's awesome.
Incredibly strong, smart woman.
Smooth,
you know,
articulate.
Being able to, mm-hmm. you know, at that age, learn from her, see how she managed her office, see how she dealt with all of the incoming that she did and how gracefully she was able to do that. How she made decisions, you know, it was all.
What did you say about that? How did she? What did you learn about how to make good decisions?
You know what I found from Valerie was she was someone who listened, took in all the information, and also used her own moral compass and her experience. And at the end of the day, it was, you know, whether it was her call or what she had to, you know, advise the president on. Being able to see how she kind of was able to take and synthesize differing opinions, mm-hmm. differing ideas, not trying to sway a debate one way or the other, but actually take in that information, match that up with her experience and her knowledge, and then match that up ultimately with what she knew the president might want and what she had heard from him, was just a really great experience to be able to kind of, you know, kind of see up close and learn from. And I've tried to take a lot of what I learned from her, you know, into not just my professional life with the Bucks, but, you know, then when I ran for office and helping run and helping bring the Democratic convention here, a lot of those skills were developed from, you know, the few years I was able to work for Valerie.
That's amazing. You know, that highlights what I believe is that making a difference is more in listening than telling. Mm-hmm. If we want to pull together to get things done, it's not about me, when I ran for public office, knocking on doors and telling people, well, this is what we need to do. It was knocking on doors and listening and saying, hey, I think the system's broken. What is it you want done? You know, what is it that you care about? And even people that wouldn't agree with me were quite surprised that I was willing to step back and listen. They'd be, you know, they were Republicans. I'm like, well, that's okay. What is it you care about? I'm not shutting the door here, you know, we can build relationships.
And that was something, you know, I was able to take from her, was didn't matter who it was. And something, you know, I've been able to take from Tammy, right? Tammy will talk to anybody. Tammy will, you know, if you live in Wisconsin, you're a constituent of hers, she's going to fight for you. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if you voted for her or not. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why Tammy has done such an incredible job of growing her coalition. I think same thing from Tony.
And she's effective in Madison.
Right. She's effective in
Washington,
DC.
In D.C.
And that helps. And same thing with Tony, right? Tony, you know, won by a point his first time and grew that coalition.
I know.
Won on a landslide victory by 3.5 the second time.
I know.
And I think that those are two lessons we've really got to learn from Tammy and Tony is, but what they did was didn't just sit on their laurels. They grew their coalition. They grew their base. They grew the people who are voting for them. And that's what we need to do. And I think when you look at, you know, some of the campaigns that we need to really emulate, I think Tony and Tammy are two of the best.
So you've been involved in the Democratic Party for years, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of, it's, you know, how I grew up. You know, my parents started by, you know, when I was, I mean, when I was young, I had to have been 10, 11 years old. You know, my parents started doing, you know, some work for President Clinton, then Vice President Gore, and on. And, you know, they had always been very active in the Democratic Party. You know, me being a bit of a mama's boy, wanted to, you know, kind of follow in my mother's footsteps. She used to run the Eleanor Roosevelt Legacy Society, which helped get women elected. So she was a big person there, and kind of seeing all the work that she did. And then when I was in college trying to figure out what I wanted to do, you know, I didn't want to go study abroad. So I told my mom one day that there was this semester in D.C. you could do. And I just kind of floated it. I was like, yeah, you know, it's interesting. And she was like, oh, you're going to do it. And I was like, okay. Oh, I don't know. Like, and she was like, no, if you're not going to, you know, study abroad, you're going to take this time and go to D.C. So I got to intern for Senator Schumer, you know, really got to get immersed into what politics is like and the good that you can do when you have the right people in office and the right people working there. And that set off my, you know, kind of love and interest in politics.
And in the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine, I wasn't very involved. I didn't have that same experience growing up. And mine was quite opposite of that, you know, so coming from a divorced family and, you know, it's a lot of crisis, not crisis really. My grandparents were there for us, but my mom just wasn't involved. My dad was non-existent. So I had the opposite. And yet when I married Phil, he knew there was a assemblywoman he was really good friends with. And I ended up helping her out a campaign. Hmm. And that was my introduction. And she was so dynamic. And I was like, you know what? I think I could be like that. I mean, I had no degree, couldn't type. I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. So I was way back there. But it took that influence of somebody who was doing it. Mm-hmm. And I remember going into the polls to vote for the first time. And I didn't know what county people, I didn't know any of those elections. So I just bullet voted for her and the president's race. And that was the start of my like awareness of, you know, politics and the, you know, watching her. That was cool. She could get things done too. She could get elected as a Republican in a Democratic area at that time. She was Republican. Well, they were different back then, Alex.
Just a little.
Quite a bit. So anyway, but it was when Phil was paralyzed and that's where we were facing a lot of challenges. And I ended up eventually getting on the school board and getting all the schools in Oshkosh. So that was a big undertaking. It took years. But once I realized, hey, this is how you get things done. I mean, I was miserable for 2 years. So I tell my listeners, if you're sitting there and you're miserable about the state of politics, find something to do and it'll change your attitude. Get in there, run for office like Alex and I did. There's an awful lot of difference you can make just by trying, even if you don't win. And if not, just make some phone calls, you know, help out at campaign offices. There's so much you can do.
Obama, I remember, said this at his farewell speech. Jamie Harrison says this all the time, the DNC chair. You know, be active. Grab a clipboard. And if you don't think you can find the right candidate, you be the right candidate.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A few aid trucks have made it into Gaza this weekend, but World Food Program Chief Cindy McCain says not enough.
We need secure and sustainable access in there, in that region, so that we can feed. This is a catastrophe happening, and we just simply have to get these trucks in.
Republican Congressman Michael McCaul tells ABC the fight over who should be speaker is one of the most embarrassing things he's seen in almost 20 years in the House.
And this is so dangerous what we're doing, and most importantly, it's embarrassing because it empowers and emboldens our adversaries like Chairman Xi, who says, you know, democracy doesn't work.
Detroit police are looking for the killer or killers of synagogue president Samantha Wall, Sam Dubin of the Jewish Community Relations Council.
She was just a ray of energy that illuminated with whoever she was talking to or the room that she was speaking in front of. She really has left an amazing legacy behind.
Her funeral was held today. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. As the second anniversary of the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack approaches, city leaders are actively organizing the memorial to commemorate the event. On Tuesday, November 21st at 4:39 p.m., the city will hold a dedication ceremony for the Main Street Parade Memorial. The memorial will take place at the Five Points intersection in downtown Waukesha. Milwaukee County recently conducted a survey regarding the Mitchell Park domes, but it didn't provide any clear answers regarding the public's desires or their willingness to contribute financially. While the survey inquired about the visitors' last experiences at the domes and the significance of the structures, it did not address whether people support investing up to $70 million in constructing new domes. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how's the back pain now?
22.
Wonky work from home desks have Dane's Acupuncture booked up.
You need to get in, but oh, this week's all full.
But finding more practitioners has them on pins and needles.
Okay. You know, my lunch is in 20 minutes. How fast can you get here?
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I always like to go back to what Tom Cruise said. Just take a walk.
That's where you get your advice?
Well, don't you remember that long time ago, Brooke Shields talked about postpartum depression going on medication? He's like, you should just go for a walk around the block.
That's so like a man.
More great words from men.
Yeah, there's a segment right there, Greg Buck.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Hi, this is Lou Ann Bird, and you're listening to Bird on a Wire, where we are having conversations about hope, civility, and action. Thank you for listening on the Civic Media Network.
You be the right candidate. And, you know, running for office is, it's scary. It's, you know, as you know, very personal, and can feel very personal for you and your family, the people around you, because it's a it can be an ugly sport, and it can, you know, get very intense. But, you know, if you're willing to put your name on the ballot, and I tell everyone, like, never hear me criticize people who are willing to put their name on the ballot like that. Like, that is a
you and I know
a that is a very a difficult
step.
Decision, and a very
big step,
and yeah. a very bold one. And I think, you know, but I tell people, hey, look, there are things you can do, whether it's running for office, helping people, volunteering, getting involved in your county party. You know, there are a lot of things you can do to make sure that you're making a difference, because it's not only just about the presidential races. Your DA race matters. Mm-hmm. Your mayor's race mm-hmm. matters.
Absolutely.
Your aldermanic seat matters. Like, those are all races that have a huge influence on your day-to-day life, in a lot of ways more so than who the president is.
It's true. And we have the power to change things. I think as Dan Schaefer was quoting one of his people that he interviewed, it's like, action is power, participation is power. So it does matter. I did that, what you've mentioned before about look for some, you know, if you can't find anybody else, you run. When Phil was paralyzed, I was trying to get the school board to upgrade the schools. And that was when the caps were put on the budget. So it wasn't like they can just raise taxes. It was a very challenging time for public education. And so there was a school board member who said this at a board meeting. They were looking at staffing for kids with disabilities. And he says, I don't think we should do this because those kids can't learn anyway. And my heart sunk. I'm like, well, how are we ever going to get the schools fixed for the grownups if he doesn't even think the kids matter?
Right.
So I was going to find someone to run against him. So I called some people I knew in Oshkosh. So I had no degree. I could type by then. But, you know, I had no degree. And I was like trying to get other people to run and no one would run. And finally, I'm like, okay, Phil, I talked it over. I said, if nothing else, we'll just put our name out there, because it really stirred the community. They did not like that comment. There was a lot of op-eds, you know, about it, and people were upset. So so I'm finally like, well, okay, I'll run and I'll put my name, our picture out there against Dennis's and see what happens. Right. And he ended up not running.
Mm.
And so it was the day I went to get the papers that I found out he wasn't going to run. So I took the risk. Got elected, worked hard, got elected, mm-hmm. and was able to upgrade those schools. So, yeah, that was a good point.
Yeah.
You can't find, if you can't find someone, you run. And we're working on that locally now, because we have some, you know, I get to this question too. But right now, some things are keeping me up at night locally with some school board members that are introducing transgender bills that would be very discriminatory and harmful to kids, and books being banned. And now this whole CRT, which is critical race theory, which is simply a teaching the understanding of the impact policy has on race and on human rights. That's what critical race theory is, very simply put. I don't know if I said it exactly right, but they're painting it out to be something that's very divisive. And so we have to, you know, get involved. But what is it that keeps you up at night now?
I mean, look, but right now, you know, with especially a 2-year-old and another daughter on the way, you know, for me, it's, you know, making sure that our schools are good. You know, I want to make sure that, you know, education to me is going to be one of the most important things. It's what helped my dad kind of, you know, get out of the, you know, the situation that they were in when they first got here. And I think it's, you know, one of the most important things when we're talking about how can we create a real, you know, middle class here in Milwaukee? How do we bring more people here to Milwaukee? You know, education is going to be one of the most important things. For me, how are we creating more jobs, right? You know, how are we creating more good paying union jobs so that, you know, people actually feel like, you know, that by working hard and doing things the right way, that they're able to succeed. And, you know, that was a lot of the stuff I spoke about on the campaign was, we need to create more good paying union jobs right here in Wisconsin. And this can, you know, be a, you know, we've got some of the best labor here. We just need to make sure that we're, you know, continuing to let people know, hey, you know, there are paths to good paying jobs. It's why I wanted to be on, and I'm, you know, excited to be on the board of the Wisconsin Technical College System.
Oh, that's great.
So, you know, technical colleges, you know, are, you know, going into the trades is one of the best ways to get a good paying job. And, you know, we're seeing fewer and fewer people getting into those skilled trade positions, which means in, you know, 10, 20 years, who's going to be building stuff for us? Right? Those are some of the most important jobs, and they're good paying jobs. And I think we need to make sure that our kids know that those are very viable and good career opportunities. And then, you know, right now, obviously, with, you know, all that's going on in, you know, in Israel, and the rise of anti-Semitism that's, you know, that's happening, not just, you know, around this country, but, you know, or, you know, around the world, you know, it's scary. You know, it's scary waking up having to decide if, you know, you're going to be sending your kid to school or not. And so, you know, that's, those are, you know, those are definitely a number of the things that, you know, that are keeping me up.
Oh, me too. That war, that idea of all of those innocent people that are dying on both sides right now. There are innocent people on both sides, but terrorism has to be stopped. And it's so hard to, every time I turn on the news, you know, or listen to my typical, you know, radio shows, they're all telling stories of what's happening over there. So I sure hope that the humanitarian side shows through. I do believe that people are good. I do. I believe they're good. I think they get lost along the way. And I think a lot of people are living in fear. And then from that fear comes a lot of craziness. So if we can get kind of beyond that and find a way to change things. But you're right about education. It's interesting you say that first, because Milwaukee can't be any better than its education systems, really. Right. And they've been stagnant for years. For years, it's been about the same thing. And they've tried the choice program to see if they could, the voucher program, to see if they could improve results for kids. Well, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen major changes. What do you think?
I think we're, you know, we're lucky that we've got, you know, Tony Evers as our governor, who's the education governor, right? And he's, you know, he's our school principal who is making sure that our kids are getting the necessary funding that they need. And we've got to make sure, and, you know, Tony, I think in his latest budget, was able to ensure that our schools are going to be competitively funded. You know, that's the first step. We've got to make sure that, you know, our teachers are safe, and that they're, you know, going to be able to get the resources they need to properly teach our kids. Got to make sure our university systems are getting the funding that they need, and not just at, you know, the UW level, but our technical colleges as well. So, you know, there's a lot that goes in to education, and, you know, it costs money, right? This stuff costs money to make sure that we've got the resources and the training that our kids need. But I can't think of any better investment that we can make than in ensuring that our kids all across this state have the resources they need, and the hope that you get from a good education. And I'm proud of the work Tony's doing, and, you know, I'm glad that hopefully he'll be able to build on that.
We have another issue that has risen up for me in my life, and that is gun violence. And it's been really alarming to see that, okay, so we can talk about educating our kids. We really need to talk about keeping them safe in our schools, because it's really hard to educate when they're afraid, and when they go through these drills where they have to hide under desks, and they're told by their teacher, you should use whatever you can to protect yourself. Like, they're teaching kids this instead of the gun controls that might save them. And my daughter is she's a coach right now at a school. They had to take a big chunk of time, and all of the kids in the school had to walk a mile away to do a practice about, you know, what if there's a shooter in the school. These are taking away from kids' education.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, when you first talk about what's keeping you up at night, there's obviously a
a long list of issues that you don't want to talk, that you don't need to, you know, list them all. But look, gun violence is a big problem in this country. And, you know, when we, when I was running, we made sure to put forth, you know, a plan for common sense, you know, gun control measures to make sure that, you know, again, there are background checks, right? Making sure that we're creating gun-free school zones and making sure that, you know, again, that there, that, that, that there's responsibility in this. And the one thing that I think we should all be able to agree on is we need to figure out a way, as you said, to make sure that our kids are safe in schools. And no one should be going to school with anything else on their mind other than I'm here to get a good education. And no parent should be worried about dropping their kid off at school.
That's right.
What's going to happen?
That's right. And no teacher.
No teacher should be worried about, okay, if I'm going, because, you know, we keep doing that. We're, you know, the, we're having less, fewer and fewer people wanting to go into teaching, which is going to make it even harder for us to keep class sizes at an appropriate size and to make sure that, again, that our kids are properly educated going into one of the most competitive times in, you know, in this country's history. So, you know, gun violence, and especially in schools, is something that, you know, is incredibly worrisome. You know, I'm proud that the president was able to pass one of, you know, but the most comprehensive gun control bills in decades. But I think he and everyone would say there's more that we can do, that we need to do. And, you know, this is why we ran, right? To make sure that we could actually go
and do something,
and do something about something like this.
Right. I was at the Capitol a couple weeks ago to lobby for some of those gun safety measures. And it felt good just to get in there and tell, you know, my story and what my experience has been. Also keeping guns away from people that shouldn't have them. The mental health side of things is really where we're falling far, far short. It's easy to say we're just going to lock them up and we're going to have stiffer penalties. That's not how you change things, really, not in the long run. I'm not saying we shouldn't have enforcement, but in the long run, if I'm not educated and I got some mental health issues that aren't being addressed, and I'm growing up in a violent neighborhood, you know, what hope do I have?
Yeah, like, I think that's where it starts with education, is making sure that, you know, people feel that they've got a place where they can go. And that after that, they've got opportunity. And I think that's something that we need to make sure that we're just addressing. And I think Tony's doing a great job of ensuring that we're getting those resources, that those resources are getting to our schools. But, you know, he's got a very difficult Republican legislature that he's dealing with who don't want to fully fund our schools, don't want to fully fund our universities and give them the resources they need to ensure that our schools are able to stay safe and as a place that can be just for education, and where parents can feel that where they're leaving their kid is a safe place for them.
So I'd like to tell our listeners to make sure you pick up the phone and you call your legislators, you call the governor's office, and you tell them what it is you care about. Just drop them a quick note. I know I sent a little two-sentence thing to both my legislators saying, do not vote to impeach Janet Protasiewicz, which she has not committed a crime. You don't have to be sophisticated at this stuff. You just have to get in there and do it. So you're in there now at the Democratic National Committee. I bet there's a lot of listeners out there that are listening to this show that are not part of a party. So I've always voted Democrat. I joined the Democratic Party again to run for public office because I saw the issues that Democrats fight for as the ones I value and care about. What, and now you've been involved for a long time. What do you say to those folks that aren't really involved in a party? Is it worth doing? And why would you want to join the party? And then why would you want to get on the Democratic National Committee? What do you hope to achieve there?
You know, I am a proud member of the Democratic Party. I, you know, very much love what the party stands for. That's why I joined. You know, I
always, you know, believe that, like, hey, you know what Democrats believe are, you know, making sure that, you know, we're creating good paying union jobs, making sure that we're not discriminating based on anyone's sex, race, sexual orientation, who they love, anything like that. Making sure that we're protecting a woman's right to choose, making sure that, you know, we believe in, you know, in common sense reform. And that is, you know, a large part, you know, believing in democracy and all that is a large part of why, you know, I'm a Democrat. And, you know, I don't agree with everyone in the Democratic Party. I don't agree with everything about the Democratic Party, but I agree with a whole lot. And I believe that we are generally on the right side here, and that, you know, people, most of the people in our party are trying to do the right thing. And, you know, for people who aren't a part of a party, I get that, right? That's for everyone to make their own decision on. But what I've tried to tell people is, like, look, if you're not going to be, if you're a part of a party or not, you got to look at the candidate. You got to look at it and say, hey, okay, does this person believe in the things that I believe in? And you're not going to agree with every candidate on every issue. But does this person have the integrity, the empathy, and the experience and the resume or history of results to say, hey, I know that while I've got to live my life, I can send this person to Madison or City Hall or Washington, and they're going to go and represent me to the best of their ability. They're going to represent my community, my state, with the integrity. And I know that by them being there, I can trust that they're going to do what they think is right. And that's what you want for in your elected official. And that's what I think you've got to be looking at, you know, anytime you're going to the ballot box.
Well, when I decided to run, and this happened the last time I ran too, it changes relationships in my life, because people see partisan politics as so divided, and it is. So I had to process that. Now, you've grown up that way, so it's not, I'm guessing you're used to that part, like, oh, you're a Democrat. And, you know, some people villainize it.
I've got a lot of friends who are Republicans. I've got, you know, a lot of friends who are Democrats. I've got a lot of friends who are independents, right? Like, there's, I've never made a you know, a friendship and been like, hey, before we, you know, decide, before we start talking, what's your political affiliation? That's not something.
Right. That doesn't come up. And it's more for me, the current relationships. I live in a very Republican area. And so deciding to run as a Democrat, that raised some eyebrows. It's changed some relationships in my life. And it's been kind of cool to be a part of that. And yet you take the downside with the good side. I want to be involved in a party right now. I was been a League of Women Voters member for years. Mm-hmm. I've been involved in lots of issues. So that all matters, but the getting into the party thing has some challenges. I'd like to see it where, like you said, it's not a negative anymore. It's just where I choose to spend my time right now and working at policy changes from that angle rather than from a grassroots angle. And I'm trying to get people to get comfortable with that, because getting involved in local politics, sometimes you hear, well, Luann, you should probably take a back seat here on the school board stuff. I'm like, no, I don't need to.
Right.
We just have to know the role, though, because I got a lot of followers here. So why not use that? That's political power. And I'm out for good. I'm out to make things better, just like you are. So what does the DNC do? And
so the Democratic National Committee is kind of the national party platform that, you know, it's, you know, it was helps set our convention, does a lot of fundraising, helps set our party platform, invests in all of our state parties and our county parties to make sure that they have the resources they need. And, you know, really serves as, you know, kind of the central committee for our national party. And being a member there,
from Wisconsin allows me to advocate on behalf of Wisconsin, make sure that the National Party isn't taking Wisconsin for granted, ensuring that we're getting the resources that we need, while also trying to say, hey, our party platform needs to resemble Wisconsin voters. Yeah. Because I think if we want to win around the country, being able, you know, we're winning in places like, places like, you know, Oshkosh or
Waukesha,
Door County,
yes,
Wausau,
yes,
right, like Walworth County, like when we're playing places like that, we're winning, and that's how you know if we're, you know, going to have a really good nationwide election or not. Is you can look at a lot of districts here in Wisconsin, a lot of counties in Wisconsin, and if we're doing well there, that means our message is resonating, not just in Wisconsin, but it's a good barometer for, I think, the country as a whole. And so I want to make sure our Wisconsin values are, you know, part of the party platform and part of our messaging.
That's great. How often do you have to go to DC for this now? Or is it Zoomed?
No, so they will do, you know, they'll have, you know, national party meetings. This was my first one a couple weeks ago in St. Louis. We're not going to have a next one until the national convention in Chicago this August. But normally I think there are around four meetings a year, every quarter. So this was my first one. It was very informative. We got to, get a lot of party business done. Got to attend the rural caucus, got to, you know, Jamie and I went to, UAW picket line, to, you know, support, our brothers and sisters who are striking right now, for better wages and a better contract. And then made sure we, you know, finished some official party business, and it was a great meeting, being able to, be with members of the Democratic National Committee advocating on behalf of Wisconsin, and building those relationships to make sure that we're getting what we need here to make sure that we're able to win.
Well, that's great. Thank you for what you're doing there. I know. That's pretty cool to be at that level. Again, I tell people, Ron, get to the table. It makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a difference. So we're almost out of time. I just wanted to go back to, the fact that you love this country and that your dad came from another country and remembers what that's like and what the opportunities are. It's refreshing to hear that and to be reminded about how great this country still is, because people are pretty down and out right now.
Like I don't know if it's just my, you know, I don't know what, but I'm always very hopeful. And I always believe, and I'm a natural optimist. We can be down on our politics, but I still believe, you know, when we look at the accomplishments of the Biden administration, when we look at the elections that we've won, you know, when you look at all these people who were denying the election,
mm-hmm.
who then lost,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, we look at mm-hmm. 2022, which for most president, you know, most years would have been a down year for Democrats. We won.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of places and had a
discover the secret to a healthier you at Lake County Botanics. Vape Walkie specializes in top quality hemp products from CBD to Delta 8, all curated just for you. You'll find Delta 8, Delta 10, THCA, and more legal hemp compounds in disposable vapes, cartridges, edibles, and more. Isolates, broad spectrum, or full spectrum CBD, they've got it all. They even have products for your furry friend. Open Monday to Saturday, 11 to 7, and Sundays from 11 to 5. Mention this ad to get a free gummy at 215 Oakton Avenue, Suite C in Pewaukee, lakecountybotanics.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always.